This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, April 6th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Tomato Challenge returns. CAWG pushes labeling standard. NRDC backs fertilizer caps. And Dems and GOP react to the Trump budget. AgriPulse will host another Great Tomato Challenge. It's open to members of the California Senate and the Assembly, as well as their staff members. AgriPulse will make a $1,000 donation to the winner's choice of a California food bank and a $500 donation to the second place winner chosen food bank. Both will be invited to speak at the AgriPulse Food and Ag Issue Summit in Sacramento on June 2nd. The Great Tomato Challenge is made possible by collaboration between AgriPulse and several sponsors that are involved with including vegetables by Bayer, Bonnie Plants, DeMayray Fresh, and California Women for Agriculture. If you need more information, you can contact Sarah Wyatt. That's sarah@agripulse.com. The California Association of Wine Grape Growers is urging lawmakers to tighten wine labeling rules through AB 1585. They argue the current federal standards allow misleading use of the term American on wine bottles. Under existing rules, wines labeled American may contain up to 25% imported bulk wine without disclosure, a practice that CAWG says undermines consumer trust in domestic growers. The proposal, backed by Assembly members Damon Connolly of San Rafael and Rhodesia Ransom of Tracy, would require wines labeled American to be made entirely from U.S.-grown grapes. Supporters, including multiple California wine associations, framed the bill as a truth in labeling measure aimed at protecting the value of domestic production. CAWG argues imported wine blended into American products diverts economic benefits away from U.S. growers while capitalizing on the domestic brand. The group also points to international competitors like France and Italy, which require 100% domestic sourcing on national labels. With concerns over reduced flexibility, higher costs, and potential market disruptions, the Wine Institute is opposing the bill, marking a rare break from the two associations. The National Resources Defense Council is backing legislation aimed at addressing nitrate contamination in California drinking water, a problem advocates say disproportionately impacts rural and low-income communities. AB 2447 by Assemblymember Rebecca Bauer-Kahn of Orinda would require the State Water Board to set enforceable limits on nitrogen fertilizer use. The NRDC argues decades of overuse have led to widespread groundwater contamination with nitrates linked to cancer, preterm births, and blue baby syndrome. The bill builds on regional efforts like the Central Coast Ag Order 4.0, which established nitrogen limits but has faced delays at the state level. Supporters say numeric limits are essential to reducing pollution at scale while also promoting sustainable farming practices such as cover cropping and improved irrigation. The bill faces an uphill battle with the release of a new report from a panel of experts recommending to the board to take a more flexible and phased-in approach to nitrogen limits that account for realities on the ground. Democrats are denouncing President Donald Trump's request for Congress to slash the USDA budget by $4.9 billion and boost defense funding to the highest level in decades at $1.5 trillion. The proposed fiscal 27 budget, quote, cuts nearly one-fifth of USDA's entire budget at a time when our farmers are already struggling, said Senator Amy Klobuchar, the top Democrat of the Senate Ag Committee. Her fellow Minnesotan and House Ag Committee counterpart, Angie Craig, blasted the administration's attempt to, quote, gut key programs for farmers while focusing on military conflict in the Middle East that's driving fertilizer costs higher. Senator Patty Murray of Washington, vice chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, decried the White House push for more money for the war, while at the same time seeking to cut rural health programs by $95 million and eliminate programs like LIHEAP, which helps to low-income families and seniors pay for energy bills. The chairs of the Senate and House Appropriation Committees took a different tack. The Maine Senator Susan Collins echoed Murray's LIHEAP criticism and noted the administration is proposing steep cuts in the Essential Air Services program that's meant to ensure rural communities have adequate airline service. She agreed that military spending needs to increase, but left unaddressed the question of whether she supports the massive increase Trump is proposing. House Chair Tom Cole of Oklahoma outlined his committee's priorities, concluded by saying, quote, in reflection of President Trump's agenda, responsible funding decisions that target resources where they're needed most and keep our nation safe and secure will continue in FY27. President Trump's decision to narrow the scope of U.S. metals tariffs and lower the duty on finished products, sparking some optimism in Brussels. The European Parliament has made its support for the U.S.-EU deal contingent on the U.S. reducing tariffs on EU steel and aluminum. Last week, the administration exempted products with low levels of metal content from the duties and reduced the rate applied to finished products. Bernd Lang, who chairs the Parliament International Trade Committee, called the announcement a welcome step in a post to X. But he argued that more needs to be done and stressed the EU is looking for a 15% tariff cap as agreed in the Turnberry deal. Raw steel and aluminum products are still subject to a 50% U.S. tariff. After a period of rising transatlantic trade frictions earlier this year when Trump turned his focus to Greenland, the recent signs suggest tensions may be cooling. European Parliament gave its conditional approval for the U.S.-EU deal last month, clearing a major hurdle for the deal. In the rollout of a new 100% pharmaceutical tariff last week, the administration set European production at a lower 15%. Here's today's final word. I applaud this decision by the EPA and urge the agency to move rapidly not only to regulate microplastics in drinking water, but to also prevent microplastics from entering our water supplies. That's the word of Judith Enick, president of the advocacy group Beyond Plastics, cheering EPA's announcement that it would designate microplastics as a priority drinking water contaminant. The initiative largely mirrors steps from the State Water Board that it began years ago, signaling a federal shift into early research and monitoring while the state is already implementing testing and data collection. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, April 6th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chop Dowling.